a number of months ago. Yeah, this was we're going on 6, 7 months, 8 months ago. The Lord put in the heart of one of our students, Savannah Strenke, to hit the mission field, and so she felt the Lord leading her to YWAM, and she came up here to let us know and look for some support, and so we supported her with prayer and the financial obligations that she had, and she took off for this adventure she had to be a missionary, and she's returned to us for a few short weeks, and since she's home, we want to give her the opportunity to share a little bit of what's going on and what the future may hold. So, Savannah, if you'd come up here and share with us, and let's give her a warm greeting here this morning.
Hello, everyone. It is so good to be back and see everyone's faces and be able to come back to the church family. But yes, so I have been gone for 6 months. I started off in Kona, and then I was in Turkey and then Albania. First off, I would just like to thank all of you guys for your prayers and financial support the past 6 months. Without you guys, I would not have been able to go on this and experience everything I did and just touch the lives I did. So the first thing is, when I talk to people or after coming back, they would be like, oh, how was it and everything? And 6 months just goes through your mind and it was crazy. But how I would describe it is a crazy, fun roller coaster ride. And why I say that is because, you know, there was many ups, there was downs. Sometimes it was full blower, like just fast and you're speeding forward. Sometimes, you know, it was a lot slower. But overall, it was so fun. So I started off in Kona, and during that it was lecture phase. So we had speakers come in every week. We had a different speaker every week, and they just talked just through the Bible and just on different topics. So some of the topics were Father Heart of God. There was Person of Jesus, and then during like the last few weeks we also had spiritual discipline. Each week it was incredible. The speakers were amazing. You know, they really just dug deep into you. You know, some weeks you felt so convicted, and every week you just grew closer to Jesus, which was overall amazing. But the biggest things I learned during lecture phase is I really found my identity in Christ, and just who I was with that and how I can use that, but not like use it, but go out and share my relationship and how I live for God, and just like that. And then I also, during this, I gained a boldness and confidence in myself and just in Christ. So during this 3 months, there was different tracks. So there was like worship track, there was like a workout track, and then there's multiple other ones, but I chose the one Messengers. And what this one is you go out, and it's pretty much just like evangelism. So some things we learned is like a 2-minute testimony, five-finger gospel. And with that, we were also able to practice this. So I had some leaders, and we would go out into town, and we would do this. And it was crazy because, like, right away, there was other ones that I was going to do. And everything just kind of, like, kept falling through because I heard during quarantine, because I had a quarantine for 5 days at the start, they were like, oh, yeah, you have to do, like, a 2-minute testimony. I was like, no, I cannot do that. I cannot stand up in front of people and share a 2-minute testimony of my life. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this track. And I was going to go the safer route and do one with like kids and stuff like that. And then everything just kept falling through, and one after the other, things were just not working out. So I was like, okay, I'll do the Messenger track. We'll see how this goes. It was amazing. That's just a big place where I just found myself and just my boldness and confidence of just being able to go out and just talk to people and have conversations with people. And while I was out on the mission field, it helped tremendously. And then each day I saw what it was like just to lean into God. I lived in a community. There is on base, there's around, I think there was like 600 students in that. And I lived in a little, it was like almost like a hotel room because it used to be a hotel with 5 other girls. So it was crazy. You were constantly with people 24/7. You really never had alone time. And so it was often hard to be like, okay, like, you know, process everything you were going through and everything that was being taught. So really just finding those quiet times and just leaning into God was definitely something that I had to do every day just to be able to keep going. So with that, the second week in, we were able to find out our options, our outreach options, and then we were able to pick our top three, and then the leaders prayed over it and then put you where they thought God was kind of like telling them and stuff. So during it, I just really prayed to God. We had 30 minutes to do this, to just really ask God where he wanted to send us, and I really felt called to go to Turkey. And it was my top pick. It was crazy. So I actually picked Turkey, Albania, and then Zambia. And God bless me, I was able to go to Turkey. So it took 3 days of travel to get to Turkey. It was crazy, but it was so fun because I got to do it with my team, which was consisted of three leaders, two guys and a girl, and then five girl students and then two guy students. So we traveled there, and when we got there, it was a whole new world. So in Turkey, they are 99% Muslim. We had to be very careful. Even when going there, when I was posting stuff, I couldn't say where exactly I was going. I just had to say the Middle East and stuff like that. But once there, so a few things we did. So we were in Antakya, which is modern day Antioch, and it used to be part of Syria. So we were right on the border of Syria. So things we did would we went to Syrian refugee camps, which was incredible just to go there and just hear stories of the families and what they've gone through and see these little kids. And it was crazy because the kids would just run up to you. It was our first time there. And they met us right when we were coming in this driveway to this camp. And they just, the biggest smiles, and they just wanted to dance with you and play with your hair and stuff like that. So just, even just that just opened my eyes. It's just like, wow, just the joy they had with everything they've gone through. And then also we did home visits. So we would just go into the home, have a few conversations of what their life was like, and then at the end we would get to pray for them. That was one of the most difficult things during the whole time in Turkey, was because we had to be very careful. So we couldn't go out usually and just pray for people on the streets. We did do prayer walks sometimes, but we had to be very almost like secretive about it. So we would like walk in pairs and almost like have a conversation while like praying for people around, because we couldn't just go up just because of our safety. We had to be very careful of words we use. So we couldn't use YWAM, we couldn't use missionary. We really couldn't go out and just, you know, be like, oh, like Jesus and anything like that. So one thing actually, so a lot of the stuff we did there was relationship building. So we had a translator come, and he traveled around a lot of places with us. We would go hiking with people and just start relationship building and go out for coffee or go out for food and just really connect with him that way, even if it wasn't just being, oh, Jesus loves you and stuff like that, or just even sharing the gospel. It was like we were just showing the love of Jesus, and that would open up questions. And if they asked us questions, then we were able to go back and be like, oh, this is, you know, from the Bible and stuff like that, which was super amazing. And it's crazy because even after, you know, we still have these people contacting us or, you know, asking for prayers. And one story, which is one of the highlights I had in Turkey, was I didn't share this the first service, but so one day we were out with a family. There was a couple kids, there was two girls, and we like, you know, got our nails done that day, and we were going to get something to eat. And no one in Turkey speaks English, like not even really the younger kids, so it was really hard that way. But we go up and we start to order food, and there's this one girl behind us, because it was super hard to order the food. She like kind of helped us and stuff. We're like, thank you. We went out and we like were still with the girls. And this one girl that was behind us came up and was like, oh, can I like hang out with you guys today? And we're like, sure, you know, like absolutely, you can come and eat with us and everything. We're just traveling around and just walking. And so there's the two girls that we were with originally, and then her, and they were just talking and stuff, and I was kind of like up there with them, and I was just like, so how long have you guys known each other? And they're like, we just met today. And we're like, oh, great, we all don't know each other and stuff like that. So we just all like, you know, connected that way. But it was just crazy in that moment of just like how God puts people into our lives, and how before this one girl left that we just met that day, she started to walk away, and I just really felt God just highlighting her to me, just go pray for her. So I ran after her, and normally we were not able to do that, but I had talked to my leader, and I just went after her, and she was so blessed by it and so happy and excited that I was willing and just sharing my faith with her, of just wanting to pray for her and just talk to her of what she was doing. So that was the biggest highlight of just how God just places people in your lives and how we were able to plant seeds that way. So we were there a month, and then kind of at the end of the month, I was walking with one of our contacts, and she had mentioned something about Turkey going into a 20-day lockdown. So with that, weekends were already in lockdown. We couldn't go anywhere on the weekends besides maybe walk down to the market if we needed some food. Weekdays, we had to be back in our apartment by 7 p.m., so it was kind of difficult because we weren't able to go out and just minister all the time. And so when she said this, we're like, okay, like that's 20 days of just staying in the apartment, of not doing anything. Like we did not really want to do that. But it was super hard because a lot of us felt we were called to be there. So I went back and I was talking to my leaders and I was like, you know, she had mentioned a 20-day lockdown. And they're like, oh, it's not going to happen. You know, they say this stuff all the time. And they're like, and there would be a 1% chance we have contacts in Albania. We may go there. And I'm like, okay, so we just kind of like all went on with our day. That night, they pulled us all into a meeting. They're like, Turkey's going into a 20-day lockdown. We're like, okay, let's do this. So we were like, okay, you know, we can still do like prayer and like worship in our apartment. Like, you know, we can still do this. Like, you know, God can use prayer in so many ways. And we can still contact and call the people that we've met there already. We're like, okay, this is, you know, it's going to work out. So that happened that night. The next morning, Wednesday morning, they called us all back into a meeting. They're like, yep, we're going to Albania. So that Wednesday, we found out we were going to Albania. That Saturday, we were already on a plane to Albania. So it was a quick transition. And right away, we were all kind of like, okay, we were really praying that, like, you know, this was from God. This is what God wants us to do. Because many of us, even before getting to YWAM, God has spoken Turkey. So, you know, we didn't want to leave if that wasn't what, you know, God wanted. But it was incredible. I'm so happy I was able to spend the time in Turkey and make the relationships we did, but then also go to Albania. In Albania, they were way more open. Everything was open. They really didn't even believe in COVID there. So it was a lot more fun to, you know, go to coffee shops and just meet up with people. So again, there we did a lot of relationship building. And what that looked like is we were able to do a street evangelism there, which was kind of funny because right when we stepped in Albania, because it was open and we were able to, you know, freedom, that we were able to kind of say anything. We all literally got out and we're like, Jesus, and like, Jesus loves you, and like everything like that, because we were able to do that. So we would do a lot of street evangelism. That was pretty much what we did all day. We would go out in the morning, then we would go out in the afternoon. We did worship on the beach. We did worship in the city. And so as people would come, or we would walk by people, or we would ask God, you know, if there was anyone highlighted that we should go pray for, we would just go pray for them. And that was definitely where, how I had spoken in Kona, I did the messenger track, where it came in. Because a lot of people, you know, when you're shy and you don't want to go out, you're just kind of like, you know, I don't want to talk to people. You know, you want to do like the other things of maybe like go to a church, which is another thing we did. We spent 3 days working in a church, painting and doing a children's ministry. But so we would meet up with people. Sometimes we would just ask to pray for them, and we would then get their number and just continue to pray for them. Other times we would invite them for coffee. And when we would do that, we would just meet up for coffee and just talk about, you know, daily life, what they do, maybe where they go to school. And sometimes it would get into the conversation of Jesus and faith and stuff like that. And sometimes it didn't. Most of the times they were actually the ones to start the conversation, which was incredible, which made it a lot easier too. And in Albania, most of the younger generations did speak English, which was super nice, super easy to go out and just start conversations with people. And it was crazy a lot of the times how many people would just come up to us first, where we didn't even, you know, have to go out and, you know, start a conversation with people. But they would be like, oh, where are you from? And everything like that. So yes, it was crazy because while we were there, we saw healings happen. And it was one of my friends, she was actually in a restaurant, and she saw the waitress limping. And she just went up and asked if she could pray for her and stuff like that. And the waitress right away was like, no, no, no. Like, you know, we don't want that. Like, you know, it's all right. And finally she, you know, asked a few more times. She's like, okay, like, yes. So she prayed for her and she was healed. And it was incredible because this young girl, you know, doesn't believe in Jesus, is Muslim, and she saw this healing. And so it just, you know, put a spark in her, and she was so happy. And every day, you know, we would kept going back to that restaurant then and seeing her and just kind of talking to her. She didn't speak a lot of English, so we had a translator and stuff like that. And we were able to meet up with her and just plant like this seed in her heart of like who Jesus is. And that was with many people there that we were able to do, even if it wasn't, you know, not a lot of them, you know, came to Christ, but we were able to plant a lot of seeds there. And hopefully, you know, we may not see how they grow and stuff like that, but, you know, other missionaries that go there and keep going back, you know, we're hoping that with those seeds planted, in even a few years, they'll start questioning their faith, because a lot of them started that because you know, said they were Muslim, but they didn't practice it and stuff. It was more of just a tradition. So when we would speak to them, you know, we would sit there for a few hours and just talk, and they would be like, oh, wow, like, you know, they would start questioning and stuff like that, which is amazing that, you know, we have their numbers and we're able to continue to pray for them and even reach out to them if they have questions and everything and still be there for them. So we did see a few people get saved, and then we would put them with churches around the area and stuff like that. So overall, Turkey and Albania were amazing. I was able to just grow so much, keep relying on God, especially during that transition of just knowing who God is and who he is in my life and just having that confidence and boldness to go out and just share his love with everyone, especially because we weren't always able to do it. You know, people just saw it and just saw the joy and just the love you had for people. So with that, I am now actually going to be going back to YWAM. I have done a 2-year commitment, so I will be going back in 2 weeks now, and I will do 2 months of staff training, and then I will be doing a DBS, which is Discipleship Bible School, which is 3 months, and I read through the Bible once in just like small groups and stuff like that, and we talk about it and go over it, and I'm super excited for that because I'm so excited to have that firm foundation in that, because then in January, this coming January, I will be staffing a DTS and then leading teams out into the nation. So I will be mentoring girls, being their leader, and just going through everything I went through. So for my goal is $6,000 for the next 6 months, and then that will cover, again, food, staff training stuff, housing, and everything that goes along with that. So I'm, again, just asking for everyone's prayers, just as I keep going out, and just seeing where God leads me and what he wants me to do. And then just if you are able to join me in either monthly giving or just a one-time donation, anything will help, and I appreciate all of your guys' support and encouragement just over the last 6 months with everything I've done. Thank you so much.
Praise God. So exciting to see people step out in faith into the unknown and the Lord leading and guiding. So, yeah. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open up to Matthew chapter 6. It's been a couple weeks, but we want to get back into the series here. We are looking at the Sermon on the Mount and what Jesus is teaching. Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. We're about halfway through the series, but if you have your Bibles, again, I invite you to open up Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moth eat them, and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is a lamp that provides light to your body. While your eye is healthy and your whole body is filled with light, but when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this time. Thank you for our family here, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you take this time that you speak to our hearts. Lord, give us an understanding, further understanding of you and what you desire of us. So, Father, bless this time we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. This or that, that or this. This little section here, Jesus is giving a couple of choices, and when I first started reading this, I'm thinking he must be talking to men, because we men, we're all about two choices, right? Just let me know, is it this way or is that way? And I learned early in my marriage, that's not so true with women. You know, where do you want to eat? You can't just ask that question to a woman, because, you know, that's not going to work. You need to give them some options. So I'd give her two options. That wouldn't work, because she'd always want something else that's outside the options. 4 or 5 options. Now, that's too complicated. But I found 3 for my wife is perfect. So give her 3 choices. But we guys, you know, usually we just want it simply this way or that way. And Jesus is bringing up two options in this portion of Scripture. Treasures in heaven, treasures in earth. Light, darkness. Serve God, serve money. And actually, previously in this chapter, he had been talking about your personal life. What is your personal relationship with God, your private life sort of thing, and then your public life. So Jesus is bringing out this or that, that or this. Now, I don't think he's just talking to men. We can all have our ears open. But he wants to show us, he give us a couple of choices to simplify things, to focus in. And so due to time this morning, we're mainly going to focus on that first portion of focusing on the heavenly or the earthly treasures. And so let's read that again, verse 19 just through 21. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Now notice that first line there in verse 19. It doesn't say, don't store up treasures. It says, don't store up treasures on earth. So there is, as we go through Scripture, there is this possibility to store up things, to accumulate treasures. But they should not be accumulated here in earth. And this is going to get a little confusing, but we gotta dig through this, see what the Lord may bring to our attention here. You see, as I look at it, sometimes there's a difference between treasures and maybe provisions. We do need to gather provisions. If you go to Proverbs chapter 6, the author encourages us to be like the ant that stores up in summer, so that way there's something available in the winter. The Bible does not forbid having possessions. The Bible does not forbid saving for a rainy day. The Bible does not forbid enjoying the good things that God provides. So there are things that we gather, that we accumulate, that won't necessarily be our treasure. Does anyone here treasure water? And we've got water all around us. We need water. Some of us store up. You got a hot water here. Some of you treasure. My wife loves baths. You know, she treasures hot water. And so you store up water. But is that our treasure? There are things in our lives that we need, that we accumulate, but we don't look at it as a high value. I joked in the first service. Teenagers, do you treasure deodorant? I hope you do. You know, you need to gather it, and you need to have a supply. We all need to have a supply, but most of us don't get up in the morning, look at our deodorant, and go, oh, thank the Lord for deodorant. You know, my treasure. Maybe you parents do. I don't know. But there are things that we have, that we accumulate, that we don't necessarily treasure. And that's not necessarily wrong. But the question is, what is the purpose of these things you accumulate? What is the purpose of your treasures? What is the purpose of your possessions? Why do you have them? What is the purpose of your savings account? Why do you have it? I hope you have it. What is the purpose of the good things that you enjoy that God has given us? What is the meaning behind it? What is the purpose for it? Because as we read, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And here we come back to that same word. If you've been with us since the beginning of this series, every week, Jesus is getting to the heart. He's getting to the heart of you. Where is your heart? And here in this, is your heart in heaven or is your heart here on earth? But we want to look at this relationship between the two. Because how do I accumulate stuff now on earth that I get to utilize in heaven? What is that stuff? And again, this is where it can be kind of confusing, because I sat down again 2 weeks ago. We changed the service a little bit last week, but the last 2 weeks I've been sitting down and read this scripture. God, what is the thing that I can treasure now that is actually stored up in heaven? And so I started digging, trying to find this thing. I got, the Lord led me to 1 Corinthians 3. The Apostle Paul talks about things we build our life upon, that all of us, we're going to go through the fire of judgment. And based upon what you build your life on, it'll either get burned up or it will be able to sustain through the fire. Okay, what are those things? It's not very descriptive. It doesn't list, you know, the four or five things that that we should build our life upon. I started thinking about, well, what about me? What about my characteristics? Will things of me remain when I'm in heaven? Will I still be me? Will you recognize me and go, oh, that's the guy who tells terrible jokes? Is that still going to be true in heaven? So I start looking at, God, is that what I need to treasure myself? No, that doesn't seem to add up as well. Paul also talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. Okay, if they endure this earth and they go to heaven, how do I treasure that? How do I invest? So I keep asking these questions. What are these things that I can treasure now that are going to be in heaven? Is there money in heaven? I don't know. I don't think they're going to have dollars. I don't think we're going to have debit cards in heaven, but there's gold. There's precious jewels in heaven. But is that really money? You know, when we get to heaven, is Paul going to say, all right, how much gold do you have? You know, because that transfers. You get to bring that with you. I don't think there's money in heaven. Are there pets in heaven? Is that what we need to treasure? I don't know. I'm not sure if they're in heaven. Is there food in heaven? Is that what we need to invest in? What are the things that are in heaven and that are on earth? And as I was going through this, as I was trying to find, God, what is the thing that I can treasure now? A picture came to my mind. Put that picture up. This popped into my head. You know that canister you put your treasure in? I've never been inside the safe of my bank account, right? I bank up here up the road. They don't let me into that vault because it's so safe, right? And yet that's where my treasure gets. My treasure gets in there someplace. It's a place I can't go. I know it exists. But how does my treasure, how does my money get in there? Well, I put it in this little canister and it disappears and it goes behind the glass where those people who are privileged to be by the vault, they take my treasure and they put it in there. So what is the thing that's both in earth and in heaven? That canister. It's here in earth and it's there in heaven. And what do I put in it? What sort of treasures? So I'm thinking of this canister that's both here and in heaven. And I start thinking, okay, God, what is the one thing I know that I know that I know is both here in heaven or here in earth and also in heaven? People. People are in earth and people are in heaven. Where should my treasure be? Should it be in money? Or should it be in people? Because heaven is full of them. Are they the canister that goes in both places? Heaven is full of people. What type of people? People that have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Where did they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? On earth. From those who treasure, who care for, or who are concerned for other people. Church, my treasure is you. You're my favorite thing. You're my treasure. I treasure you. I treasure my wife. Maybe a little more than you, but I treasure my wife. What does that mean? I give her my time. I give her my money. No, she has all that. You know, the one person who has access to all that. I give her my resources. All that I have, I give to her. Why? Because I love her. But honestly, I treasure her. I invest in her because she's my treasure. She's my favorite. I treasure my children. I give them my time, some of my money, and my possessions, the things I have, my resources, because I treasure them. And I want to know that those canisters are someday going to be up there in heaven. And so what do? I give them all that I have, including my testimony, my sharing of Jesus Christ. I give them all that I have. I protect them. I bless them. I encourage them. Because I want that canister in heaven. I want to get up there and be able to go into the vault for the first time and see people. People that I treasured. People that I gave to. People that I invested in. I want to treasure my wife and my children. Should I stop there? No. Do you know that God treasures you? You are a treasure of God's. He made all of this for you. God treasures you. Do you know that Jesus treasures you? He died for you. He gave his life. See, God gave the stuff, made this world for us. He gave it to us. And he also gave us his son. And what does his son do? His son gave, treasured, invested his life. And so what is asked of you and me? To do the same. I want to give you all that I have. And if it also means my life, I want to be willing to do that too. I want to invest in you. All I have, I want to put into you. So I believe I can accumulate stuff. I can store up treasures, in essence, on earth, as long as they are for you, to bless you, to help you in your time of need. Savannah just brought up a need. This beautiful canister wants to go to different places that you and I may never go. We're okay in our lazy boy recliners. We're okay in our nice little turtle leg, right? But there's canisters over there that look different, that talk different, that think different. And how will they know, how will they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ unless somebody is sent, unless somebody goes? Are you willing to do that? Well, then I present to you a canister that we can put our time, our money, our resources in, that will share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, so that someday we go up and we look into this vault and we go, I don't know this guy. Oh, but you invested in this person, who invested in that person, who invested in this person. We have opportunities to treasure others and not ourselves. Not my own well-being. Treasure others. So where's your heart? Where's your treasure? Guys, is in a 1960-something Mustang or a muscle car? Is it your boat? Is it your artwork at home? Is it your house? Is it your vacation, your timeshare? Are those things wrong? No. But they are if your heart's not in the right place. Do you take people for a ride in the car? Do you invite people on that vacation? Do you take them tubing out back behind the boat? Do you invest in other people? These things that you have, do you give them? Do you offer them to others? Your time. Our table, seat 6. We have 5. There's an open chair. We can throw on the Leafs, add a few more. Do you open up your home to others? Do you treasure others? That's God's call to us, I believe, in this scripture, is for us to be able to invest in something that we can see and feel and touch right now. and it's all around us. I've told you a number of times, coming here in this position and this role wasn't my idea. I would much rather be back there where Jeff is at. Much rather be in the booth doing tech stuff where you won't even have to know me or see me. I don't get up on a Sunday morning and go, yes, I get to preach today. But when I go home, I say thank you, God, for the opportunity to share my treasure, to share my Jesus with those that are willing to hear. And I look forward to someday seeing you guys up there. I really wonder what we're going to look like. Hopefully it's some of us, you know, back when we were in our 20s. You guys in your 20s, enjoy it. What are we going to be like when we're up there? Honestly, it doesn't matter. As long as I get to see you guys again. As long as I get to be with you. And if that's the extent of it, then I'm a little selfish. Because I want to go out those doors and I want to see more. Because there is empty canisters all around us. No one willing to invest a single penny, a single moment, a single glance. This world is full of empty canisters that are going nowhere. And it's your job and it's my job to put our treasures, to put our things, our time, our money, our resources into these empty canisters and put within them the most important thing. Jesus. Because they have to have Jesus in their canister to make it up to that tube that goes up into nowhere. It goes up into heaven. Treasure one another. Treasure people. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for treasuring me. Lord, when you created all this, you were thinking of me. Because you love me. And you loved me before I even knew about you. You loved me when I was formed in my mother's womb. You treasured me in that moment. And ever since, your treasure of me has never wavered. But as I've grown older, Lord, just as Adam and Eve did, Lord, I turned. Lord, I sinned. Lord, I began to treasure other things. Money and worldly possessions. Power and favor and friends. Lord, I favored myself. I treasured myself. And Lord, when someone shared with me the gospel of Jesus Christ, I realized that I was a sinner. That my canister was going nowhere. And that's when you introduced me to the most important treasure of all. God so loved his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, I was introduced to Jesus Christ. And I've opened up my heart to Jesus. And now I'm going places. Both here on earth and in heaven. Because of the work of the cross and because of the work of Jesus Christ. But now you challenge me and you challenge us, Lord, not to keep that to ourselves, but to share that with others. So Lord, challenge us, even one person today and this week that we can invest in, that we can treasure, someone we can spend some time with and just ask how their day is going and to pray with them. Someone that we can give if they have a need. And that might be time, that might be money, that might be resources. Lord, someone might need a spin around the lake on the back of a boat. Lord, let us be open to that, willing to do that. Lord, I think we would be blown away if we actually got to see how big that vault in heaven you have for us is. And at times, how empty it is. Because we have been unwilling to step out and to treasure others. God, I want to fill it. Every day I want to go through the drive-thru and make a deposit of someone else that I've put love into. So thank you for treasuring us. And Father, we want to turn around and treasure others, starting with our spouses and our children, our family, our friends, and then our coworkers, and then our neighbors, those people we don't agree with, and even those enemies that are against us. Lord, teach us to treasure other people just as you do. Thank you, Father. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.